your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. In your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1085. And beginning with the 40th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 46. The text verse is the 45th verse. We'll read these verses responsively, as I said. And we will stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And let's finish together on the 46th verse. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Let's pray. Father, thou art pleased to meet with us, we believe, and we are pleased to be here. And this is a significant gathering, which includes not only our church family, but hundreds of visitors. Already here for the great pastor school. So it will be a rather unusual kind of service from the standpoint that the needs here are a little more complicated perhaps. But of course there's nothing too hard for our God. We pray that you'd use our preacher, that you'd use this passage, that you would use all the prayer support that goes into a service like this, and blend it all together in a wonderful, blessed outpouring of thy Spirit upon us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm aware of the fact that tomorrow is a very busy day. In fact, many of our people will not sleep tonight. They'll be awake all night preparing for pastor school. And I realize that there are many things to do and that you're weary and tired. And many of you have worked so hard for this opening day of our spring program. Because of that, let me assure you that I will not be as lengthy as usual tonight, but I want to speak to you from my heart. I never come lightly. I think of the scripture where it talks about Satan knows he has but a short time, and so he's more vicious because he knows he has but a short time. I'm 73 years of age. I do not know when my last pastor school will be. I do not know when my last sermon will be. I know I do not have many years left, and I do not know of an unimportant sermon that I preach. And tonight, I am going to unburden my heart to you. All of our services are serious. At this very moment, for example, right beneath me, just a few feet from where I stand, underneath this platform, there's a room, and there are men on their faces at this moment. Always is the case. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, they're right down here. In fact, the thud you heard when the pulpit went down, one of them was knocked unconscious a while ago. This is big league stuff. And you preachers here, if it's not big league, get out of it. If it is big league, get into it. And I want to speak tonight from the little passage we read a while ago. And the subject is somebody touched him. Somebody touched him. Now, I'm not fanning, and I'm going to be hotter than you are, so put your fans down. And it's not all that hot. And let's listen carefully. the fan that you'd wave like this may cause somebody behind you not to listen. And maybe you can suffer for Jesus, and you'll get rewards in heaven for having suffered so much tonight. And I want you to listen carefully. Father, help me as I speak tonight. As I prayed about the message, I just pray that somebody will get the idea. That's all, just somebody. I remember that night, and I preached to about 80 or 90 people, the Antioch Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. You gave me a young man named Curtis Hudson, whose life was changed that night. I remember that night when I preached to 40 people in Danville, Illinois, and you gave me a young man that night whose life was changed, named Wally Beebe. Give me somebody tonight. Give me a bus kid that'll touch Jesus tonight. Give me a Hammond Baptist high schooler that'll touch Jesus tonight. I just pray for somebody tonight. Speak to me and through me to the hearts of the people. You get glory to thyself tonight and years to come because of this hour, please. Amen. Jesus, by the way, set up straight now. No one talking. Everybody listening. No teenager misbehaving. Everyone awake and listening carefully. Jesus is on the way to the house of Jairus, whose daughter was dying. Crowds followed him and jostled him. His fame had spread. They had seen him open eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, cause the lame to leap like a hart, and the crippled to get up and walk. They had seen his miracles, and because they had seen his miracles, crowds followed him. Suddenly, in the midst of the the jostling and the pressing of the crowd, the Savior asked, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" The disciples said, "A lot of people have pressed you. And you say, who touched you?" Jesus is talking about this. Multitudes were pressing him. Strong men were jostling each other to get to him. And then what has happened? Someone touched him in a way that nobody else touched him. And that's what I want tonight. I want somebody tonight to touch him. Not just press upon him, but touch him in a way that nobody else does. I want tonight to be a life-changing one for several people here. I don't ask for 7,000 people to have their lives changed tonight. I just want a few people tonight to be like this woman who pressed him. Well, more than pressed him, she touched him. And the disciples said, "The multitudes are pressing you." But Jesus said, "Somebody touch me." Throngs were jostling, but one touched him. Some were stronger than she, but she touched him. Some were smarter than she, but she touched him. Some were larger than she, but she touched him. Some were wiser than she, but she touched him. Some were better than she, but she touched him. Some were, no doubt, even purer than she, but she touched him. Some, no doubt, were richer than she. But in fact, Luke tells us that, or one of the writers tells us that she had spent all of the money on the physicians. Some were more attractive than she, but she touched him. Some more gifted than she, but she touched him. Some more charismatic than she, but she touched him. Some more intelligent than she, but she touched him. And who was this one who touched him? She was one who had a disease for 12 years. 12 long years she had suffered. A disease that excommunicated her from the temple. Please take the coat off up there. Somebody's going to be scared to death. You drop that coat. Take the coat off right there. We've had several unfortunate circumstances. The one fellow almost had a heart attack when a coat dropped. One who had a disease that excommunicated her from the temple. Who was this one? One who was ostracized from society. Who was this one? One who had to be divorced or separated from her own husband. Who was this one? One who was shut from fellowship with anybody. A life of exile. A life of loneliness. Separated from friends.
as I said a while ago, she had spent all of her possessions on doctors. And she became weaker and weaker and weaker until she heard one day that this stranger was coming through the area. And she heard what he had done. This marvelous, strange person, this man of Galilee, this lily of the valley, Friday morning star, prayers of 10,000, the way, the truth, the life, the door, the good shepherd. And this one is coming through. And she said, I've got to touch him. It's the only hope I have. I have to touch him. And so touch him she did. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, multitudes have thronged thee and pressed thee. But Jesus said, somebody has touched me. And he called her daughter. She was excommunicated from her husband, but Jesus adopted her. She was excommunicated from her friends, but Jesus adopted her. She was excommunicated from public worship, but Jesus adopted her. She was excommunicated from the temple, but Jesus adopted her. She was penniless, but Jesus adopted her. She was ostracized by all, but Jesus adopted her. Now, the message for tonight. 2,000 years have passed since that day. Hundreds of young men sit in chapel at Howells Anderson College every day, 11 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And hundreds of young men sing the songs. And hundreds listen to the sermons. And hundreds laugh at the humor. And hundreds learn from the message. And most will amount to something. Some will go away and choose money over the souls of men. And some will choose pleasure. And some will turn back. But bless God, somebody is going to touch him. Some young man sitting out there is going to touch him. Would you be that one that touches him? Oh, I'll tell you, if I were a preacher boy at Howells Anderson College tonight, I'd say before I walk out the hall of that college, before I get my degree up here on this platform, I'm going to touch the Savior. Down in the city of Mexico City tonight, one of my favorite people, Kevin Wynn. I think he'll be here this week. Maybe here tonight, don't know. Kevin Wynn, great missionary. One of the greatest missionaries in the world. Great work going on. A couple of thousand people a Sunday. And literally thousands being saved every year. Kevin Wynn and his little girlfriend used to sit on this row right over here on the front. Just a little love seat together. And they didn't do any loving there, but a little love seat together. And used to sit right there on that row. And Kevin Wynn went to Mexico City and became a great missionary. Several years ago, somebody said to me, let me tell you a story about Kevin Wynn. This person said, I work nights. Went to work while I worked the shift from push that thing right there. So I'll fall through that crack right there. Push that thing right across it down. I can't push it. I hate it. Push that real hard there, would you please? I hate things not done right. Atta boy. Good. Thanks, Roy. Thanks, Roy. This fellow said, I went to work right after school every day and came back in the wee hours of the morning from my job to Howells Anderson College. And he said, many were the morning. I'd come in the wee hours, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd see the shadow of somebody walking back behind the buildings in the woods at Howells Anderson College. I'd look there, and there was a young student named Kevin Wynn. What was Kevin Wynn doing? He was touching him. That's what he was doing. While you're shooting your basketball and playing around and courting your girlfriend excessively, somebody out there is going to touch the Savior. Let me say, if I were a student in Howells Anderson College, if I were a preacher boy, I'd say with the grace of God, I'm touching Jesus before I leave this college. Most will not, but bless God, some will get the idea. Hundreds of young people do walk the halls of Hammond Baptist High School. Some will ruin their lives. Others will keep the rules until they graduate and then flaunt the rules that they've had to live by while they're in school. And by the way, the rules of our schools are not you graduate, they're for a lifetime. That's what we have in mind. But you say, nobody's watching me after I graduate. He watches you after you graduate. He watches you. Some will ruin their lives who walk the halls of Hammond Baptist High School. Others will fail in their lives. And some will be mediocre and simply jostle the Savior, if you please. But out yonder in that high school chapel, there's some young man. I don't know who he is, but there's some young man who's going to touch the Savior. He's going to say, I'm not going to be normal. I'm not going to be usual. I'm not going to be mediocre. I'll rise above the rest. I'll do something big for God. There's some young man. If I were a young man in Hammond Baptist High School, I'd say for the grace of God, I'll be that young man. I'll not be those who just press him to see him perform some miracle. I'll touch him. I'll touch him. I'll let him change my life. I'll be one who touches him. Thousands of bus kids come to First Baptist Church in Hammond. Thousands came this morning and rode our buses to Sunday school. Thousands of others come back on Sunday night, or hundreds of others come back on Sunday night. Most of those bus kids, I hate to say, will falter. Some will be mediocre Christians. Some will serve God somewhat. But somewhere sitting over here tonight, there's some young bus kid who's not going to be satisfied with just being normal. He's not going to be satisfied with just being routine or just being mediocre. There burns in the breast of somebody over here tonight what burned in the breast of one of our bus kids who now pastors a great church down in the country of Mexico. There's a burning in the breast. I'm saying tonight, if I were you, I'd be that kid. I'd say with the grace of God, I'll touch him. I'll touch him. I'll not just be a student. I'll not just be a normal, mediocre child of God. I'll touch him. I'll do something big for God. Thousands of delegates will come this week for pastor school. Through yesterday, 500 more registrations than the same time last year. And they'll come from practically, if not every state in America. They'll come from last year, 19 foreign countries. I saw a busload that came from down in Monterrey, Mexico out of yesterday. And thousands of delegates will pack and jam and overflow this great auditorium. And some will come to see what's going on. And some will come for curiosity. And some will come for fellowship. And some will come to see their friends haven't seen since last year. And some will come to have a reunion with their college people. But bless God, there's going to be somebody sitting out there who's going to say, I'm touching Jesus before I leave. I'm not leaving. I recall that time at pastor school several years ago when I came back in the wee hours of the morning to pray and thank God for the week. I walked in that auditorium, turned the lights on, and right here was a man on his face before God, a preacher, a pastor. And he said, Dear God, I'm not leaving till I get what I came for. I'm not leaving till I get what I came for. And that man had his life changed, went back to build a great church. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you just came for some fellowship or came to pick up a few little ideas or tidbits, that's not the purpose of pastor school. The purpose is that somebody will touch him. Somebody will get through the throng and say, and nobody else may touch him. I'll touch him. Don't just press him. Don't just jostle him. Say, I'm going to touch him. I recall that year, we had a pastor school. And one of our delegates was so moved. He went down Sibley Street toward the expressway. And he got to the city limit sign of Hammond. He stopped there at that city limit sign, got out of his car, and parked his car beside the road, and knelt there and made an altar to the city limit sign. And he said, Dear God, I'm not leaving here like a king. I'm not going to leave the city of Hammond till something happens to me. And there, that day, he touched him. He didn't press him. He didn't shout him. He touched him. And his life was transformed. Oh, let me say, Howells Anderson, student, before you leave the college, you touch him. Hammond Baptist young man, before you get your diploma, you touch him. Bus kids, don't be the normal bus kid. You touch him. Delegates to pastor school, before you leave this place, you touch him. Be the unusual. Do something big for God. Get a cross. Get a burning in your breast. I've got to do it. I can't live unless I do it. Touch him before you leave. Thousands of public school Bible club kids. Numbers are sitting over here right now. Come to our school, our church. It's not your privilege to go to Hammond Baptist schools. Maybe you're not allowed to do so. You go to the public schools. You hear God's name profaned. You hear them talk about evolution. You hear them make fun of the old time religion. You hear them say that Bible's not inspired by God. You just under your breath say they're lying through their teeth. And I may be a public school student. I may not can go to Hiles Henderson College. I may not can go to Hammond Baptist Schools. But I'm going to touch my Savior. Let me tell you something. This little lady out here didn't go to the local Christian college. She was sick. For 12 years she was sick. And you say, by the grace of God, I'm touching him. I'm not going to be just a normal Christian. I'm going to touch him. And God Almighty is going to use me. She touched him. I'm talking tonight to hundreds of people here who surrendered your life to foreign missions field. Most of you will never go. Some will go and return. Others will live a life of barely being worthy of the support. By the way, if you're not going to set the woods on fire, then don't you take the money from hard-working Christian people. If you're going to go over and roll and have a vacation and just enjoy some foreign country, and you take that money, then you're a dirty crook. And don't you take the hard-earned money, the tithes and offerings of God's people that belong to God. But some of you will do that. But others, somebody will touch him. Somebody will be a Rick Martin. Somebody will be a Kevin Wynn. Somebody will touch him. Oh, let me say tonight, your job is not to go somewhere and just spread a few tracts and publish a little paper somewhere. Your job is to go to some foreign country and fall on your face before Almighty God and say, God, I'm representing you. I'm an ambassador representing the King of Kings. I'm here in your place. I'm saying, don't just be an average missionary. Touch him and change the country or area for Christ. Hundreds of boys, young men and men sit here in this room tonight. Most of you will not care about the souls of men. Some will care and pray. Some will say, call me, dear God, and I'll preach. Some will say, I would if you call me. But somebody here tonight is going to say, I'm going to touch him. I'm volunteering. I'm going to help save this country for God. Hundreds of young people will walk the halls of City Baptist High School. What an exciting place it is. Boy, I love to go down there. The other day, Zach DeCoster was talking to me, and he said, I'll never forget the time I spent at City Baptist Bus Kid High School with all those bus kids there cheering and exciting. But the truth is, most of those bus kids are not going to do much for God. But bless God, somebody is going to touch him. And let me say to you, Hammond Baptist, City Baptist, bus kids, students tonight, you be the one that touches him. I've never understood mediocrity. I've never understood being the average. I've never understood being satisfied with being like everybody else. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Tonight, there are a lot of older people in this room, of which I'm one. And most of you are going to sit back and enjoy your retirement days. And most of you are going to come to church, and I'm glad you do. You'll drop your tithe in the offering plate. But bless God, there's one old man here, 73 years old, aims to keep on touching him. Touch him. Be the one that touches him. While others are mediocre, you touch him. While others flounder, you touch him. While others are satisfied with the normal, you touch him. Hundreds of men will come through our rescue mission. Most of them will go back into the world. Some will get jobs and become good citizens again. But every once in a while, a person comes through our rescue mission that touches him. I think about that pastor in Mexico. What's his name? Is Rodriguez or Gonzalez or what? Herrera. Joel Herrera. Came to our rescue mission. Wasn't satisfied with just getting saved. Wasn't satisfied with just coming to church. Joel Herrera said, I'm going to touch him. He went to Mexico, has built a great, listen to me young folks, has built a great church down in Mexico. I'm saying, you guys of prayer, I love you. You're a wonderful man, but touch him. Don't you think we just have the mission open so you can sober up. Bless God, we got that mission open so you can touch the Savior. years ago in East Texas. I was a kid preacher. I was the least likely prospect in school to be a preacher, and certainly to be a successful preacher. But I found a scripture one day. It said, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. Boy, I love that scripture. It didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's talented. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. Didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's handsome. Boy, Moffitt, you wouldn't have a shot at it. It says, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. Didn't say, I'll pour water on him who has muscles. Scott, you wouldn't have a chance. I would, but you wouldn't. But it didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's big. I'll pour water on him who has charisma. Or I'll pour water on him who's eloquent. Blessed be God. It says, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. Everybody can't be big. Everybody can't be handsome. Everybody can't be pretty. Everybody can't be strong. Everybody can't be intelligent. But bless your little pea-picking heart. Everybody can be thirsty. Before you leave this place this week, I want you to get thirsty. I'll pour water. Didn't say I may pour water. I will pour water. Didn't say I might pour water. I will pour water. Didn't say I can pour water. I will pour water on him who is thirsty and the floods upon the dry ground. I went to the library of East Texas Baptist College. I went to the biographical section. I found a biography of Dwight Moody. I read about how he was walking down the street, New York City, one day. Two women had been praying for God to give him the power of the Holy Spirit. There at New York City, he'd been begging for whatever it was. Walking down Wall Street trying to raise some money. He fell on his face. God smote him to the concrete. Mr. Moody asked God to withhold himself to get alone in the home of a friend. He barred the bedroom of a friend. And there, the mighty power came upon Dwight L. Moody. As a kid preacher in East Texas, I began to burn inside my breast. 141 pounds is all I weighed. I was a preacher. I'd only preached a few sermons and failed in all of those. But all of a sudden, I began to burn in my heart. And I said, dear God, are you a favorite? You show favoritism. You have something for Moody you don't have for me. As people from New York City had promises that folks in East Texas don't have. I began to thirst for whatever happened to Moody. I read about John Wesley. How after praying all night long, with 60 people or so, at 4 o'clock in the morning, the mighty power of God came on him. And I began to burn inside. And I said, dear God, do you have something for folks in England you don't have in East Texas? Is the thing for Moody and Wesley, is that only for them? How about a country preacher in East Texas? I began to burn in my soul. I found out about Savonarola, who for 5 hours refused to preach because he wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. And then finally, he began to preach. I found out about Christmas Evans, who was knocked off his horse one day on his circuit, a riding preaching trip, and the power of God came on him. I found out about George Whitfield, who said that when Bishop Benson laid hands on him at ordination, the mighty power of God came on him. He was never the same. I began to walk the pine thickets of East Texas, and I said, dear God, is it for me? Is that for me? Is that just for them? Is it for a little preacher? Let me tell you tonight, it's for everybody who is thirsty. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. And floods upon the dry ground. I kept on reading. I kept on praying. I kept on pushing. The crowds were pressing. But I wanted to touch him. The crowds were thronging, but I wanted to touch him. I didn't want to just see him. I didn't want to watch him as somebody else perform miracles. I didn't want to watch somebody else have the power of God. I wanted to touch him. I began to lose my appetite. I couldn't eat. I was pastor of a country church. Never had a convert. Never had a convert. I couldn't eat. If I did eat breakfast on Sunday, I'd go out before the service and throw up a little creek behind the church. I'd throw my breakfast up in the creek there. I got down to almost 100 pounds. The deacons called a meeting and said, Pastor, you've got to take care of yourself. You're going to die. And I said, I want to die if I can't have the mighty power of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to tell you tonight the whole story. I'm simply going to tell you I'm testifying tonight. You're not listening to an eloquent preacher. You're not listening to an intellectual giant. You're not listening to a fellow that was chosen as Mr. East Texas Baptist College out in Lash. If there'd been a vote, you're not listening to the guy that was a valedictorian in the senior class. You're listening to a little country preacher, a little hellfire and damnation preacher who said, I'm going to touch him or I'm going to die. And so touch him. Thousands of sailors will come through here. Most will go back to live decent lives, but not sold out for God. Let there be some sinner who will touch him. Thousands of public school kids and others will come through here. Most will go away with their lives affected positively. But let there be some Hiles Anderson College boy tonight who will say, I won't touch him. Let there be a Hammond Baptist High School boy tonight to say, I'm going to touch him. Let there be a public school student tonight to say, I'm going to touch him. Let there be a sailor tonight to say, I'm going to touch him. Let there be a mission man tonight to say, I'm going to touch him. Let there be dozens of delegates for pastor school to say, by the grace of Almighty God, this is not going to be a vacation. It's going to be a time when I touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. But the thing I want you to do tonight is you press on to touch him. Would you bow your heads, please?